Did I understand that I'm playing tonight? I gotta at least have one cheerleader for me to do this. Who's cheering for me? Thank you, all three of you. And who's cheering for your own church? Terrible. And who's gonna sit there and look dumb and not cheer at all? Okay. Well, I'm looking forward to it. And even if you don't cheer for me, looking forward to it. And how many think this guy ought to play me one-on-one by the end of the game? And if he loses, he has to preach 2 and 3 hours next Sunday, right?
That's fine.
Yeah. Okay, well, has the redhead learned how to drive yet? That's what I want to know. Where'd he go? He's not here. He's not even here. He got so offended, he didn't come back. But thank you for bringing me here. And I had another piece of good news that I forgot to tell you. Actually, 3 great victories today. One is that the person who brought me in over at the base is a connection with someone in recreation who knows all the school people. So it could work out, or maybe I could I'm coming back in October for a revival. Wouldn't it be wonderful if I got in 12 schools and had a rally with 1,000 hearing the gospel? Pray for that. And it's going to be a Brother Dave. Where'd Dave go? There he is. It's going to be the one going around to the schools. And so be praying for him that God will use him. He had me over to eat today at his house. And so they poisoned me for the game tonight. But no, it was wonderful. They had the most wonderful food for me. And I'm excited. Another answer to prayer. Great victory. You have all decided to support me $150 a month now. Through simply being willing to receive texts. Isn't that great? So 150, and if you share it with Facebook friends and Twitter friends, it'll grow. And then the other answer to prayer, I just talked to someone this afternoon who said I'll probably have a chance to witness to the wealthiest person in the world. He's doing an hour show with him, and he's going to try to connect me to be a witness to that guy. Isn't that wonderful? And people that are poor and people that are rich need the gospel. And rich people are hard at the end of the kingdom. But I still believe the gospel has enough power in it that even the wealthiest person in the world could get saved. Amen. And so pray that the Holy Spirit will use the gospel. I've met all kinds of funny people doing this. A young boy suddenly announced to his mother, "Mom, I've decided to become a preacher when I grow up." She said, "That's okay with us, but what made you decide that?" "Well," the little boy said, "I have to go to church on Sunday anyway. I figured it would be more fun to stand up and yell than sit there and listen." Another little girl became restless as the preacher's sermon dragged on and on. And finally she leaned over to her mother and whispered, "Mom, if we give him the money now, will he let us go?" And another wife invited some people to dinner, and at the table she turned to the 6-year-old daughter and said, "Would you like to say the blessing?" "I wouldn't know what to say," the girl replied. "Well, just say what you hear Mama say all the time." And the daughter bowed her head and said, "Lord, why on earth did I invite all these people to dinner?" So you hear a lot of funny things. One teacher got in front of the class and said, "If there's any dumbbells here, stand up." And one boy stood up. She said, "Are you a dumbbell?" He said, "No, but I hate to see you standing there all by yourself." So people say funny things. There used to be a show on TV that the children say the funniest things. I forget who did that, but it is true. Open your Bible to Philippians 2. I'm so excited about what I'm going to bring tonight. I want to preach on the power of one Christian. And I don't know if you've ever thought of this before, but the power of one Christian. Can I ask you a question? How many believe the creator of a universe is powerful? If he could create everything out of nothing, how many think that's pretty powerful? Ever look at mountains and lakes and rivers? And look at Philippians 2:13. And I want you to really believe literally what God says. Can I ask you a question? How many believe literally that what God says is true? Now watch this. Verse 13 of Philippians 2. If you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit in you who will never leave you. How many believe the Holy Spirit is God? That God exists in three persons, the Father, the Son, and the what? Is the Holy Spirit God? Yes or no?
Yes,
is God the one who created the universe? Yes or no?
Yes, sir.
Now watch this verse. It is God which worketh in you. That's one person. Notice it didn't say in all of you. It said in you. It can be directed to one Christian. It is God which worketh in you, both to will and do of his good pleasure. Now, if you read what I just read, the God of all creation is inside of you and works in you. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and let me show you in 2 Corinthians 4 what God says about earthen vessels. Now, in verse 3 of 2 Corinthians 4, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. In whom the god of this world, that's Satan, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who's the image of God, should shine unto them. So Satan does not want the light of the gospel to shine on sinners. Is that right or wrong? But notice what he tells us now. One Christian, what we have available to us when Satan is trying to blind people to the gospel. We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants, there's the message this morning, for Jesus' sake. For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now wait till you see the next verse. We have this treasure. What treasure? The treasure of being able to bring light to people that Satan's trying to blind them to. The Savior. We have this treasure, the light of the world, in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. And then you read a little further, we're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Why? Because of the power of one Christian. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. With all these things that happens, we don't have to be destroyed and quit. Why? Because we're always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. In the body? That's right. That the life of Jesus, also of Jesus, might be made manifest in our body. Do you realize the power of one Christian has the creator of the entire universe inside that person? So when you cut yourself down, you're cutting God Almighty down. Now, I'm not saying you're God. That's a false doctrine. But I'm saying you have God in you, and that treasure is in earthen vessels. Now, if you have committed suicide in your spirit because you got offended by somebody, and you no longer have that sweet spirit, and you've committed suicide to your spirit, I want you to think about this. You have murdered the one who wants to live through you. And you have committed suicide in your spirit to the one who's living inside you. He's still there. He doesn't leave you. But I think we ought to let him shine through. How about you? Now, you have this treasure in earthen vessels. So we don't want to kill the purpose that God has for us when he's in us. Now, if we really understand this, then we ought to say to ourselves tonight, the power of one Christian is amazing because each one of us has God the Creator in us. And then they shall be my people and I will be their God and I will dwell in them. Hebrews 13, the God of all peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do as well, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to him be glory forever. So the one who came out of the grave is inside of us. Did you ever stop to think about that? The one who came out of the grave is in us. And the God of the universe is in us. The God who created all things. So number one, God can do the absolute impossible through you. The story this morning of that superintendent just showing up. Did I tell you that this morning? That could not happen without God doing that. This connection today, having a chance to maybe witness to Warren Buffett, if you want to know who it is. is an opportunity to say to that person, I don't care how much money a person has, there's nothing greater than having a Creator living inside of you. Can you shout amen to that? And I don't care. And if you think you have something because, or people have something because of money, I have news for you tonight. The God of all creation living in us ought to excite us more than all the money in the world. Amen. And that power of one person is in us. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. We are created by God to shine through Him shining through us. I will cry unto God Most High that performeth all things for me. Psalm 57:2. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, and what is the riches of His glory, or the inheritance of the saints, what is the exceeding greatness of His power to us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead, and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above principalities, powers, might, and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but that which is to come. Now, being confident of this very thing, that He who hath begun a good work in you will perform it till the day of Jesus Christ. Now, if we can understand this, we ought to go out of the service tonight saying, if God Almighty lives in us, what power is available in me to perform that which would seem impossible to anybody else? Wow. When we understand this, why do you think Gideon downsized the army and won with only 300 men? Because God does supernatural things through one small individual. When God is in charge, things happen through human vessels. God slew a giant through one man. One man prayed fire down from heaven, and all 400 prophets of Baal were defeated, and the mighty power of God was seen. One man built an ark that saved his family in the midst of the whole world dying around him. One man led the children of Israel across the Red Sea to see the power of God defeat the enemy. One man is powerful if he's a Christian and has God in him. Now, think about this. It shall not be so among you, but whosoever be great among you, let him be your minister, and whosoever be chief among you, let him be your servant. Do you know that so much can be accomplished? Now, let me tell you this. When we recognize the power of a Christian, it does not develop pride, it does the opposite. It develops unbelievable humility. How come? Because you recognize that anything that's accomplished can't be you, it has to be Him. And how many are glad we serve a great and mighty God? This world needs to see Him. Now, we are His ambassador. And the power of one is so incredible that we see this power in human vessels. Now, listen to the verse. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. So the one who created the universe causes the Christian to be powerful. It causes the Christian to be powerful because the God of all creation, who came out of the grave and resurrected, is available to us. Helen Keller said, you may have heard of her, I am only one, but still I am one. I cannot do everything, but I can still do something because I cannot do everything. I will not refuse to do something that I can do. I feel the pages of the Bible under my hand with special thankfulness, truly the Bible and the teaching of Jesus Christ is the only way out of the dark. She recognized the power of one when she had none of her facilities. One man, said Andrew Jackson, with courage can make a majority. Christopher Columbus said, the scriptures inspired me, and I wanted to get the gospel to the heathen. I wanted to find a way to get the gospel to the world, and I was told that I would fall off the end of the earth. And he discovered America, and he believed the earth was round, because Isaiah said, it is He who sits upon the circle of the earth. And they all laughed at him, but he believed what God's word said. And he knew he wasn't going to fall off the edge of the earth, because the earth was round. How many believe God knew the earth was round, because He made it? And the power of one person, listen to the verse, for as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one, that's Jesus Christ, shall many be made the righteous. One man's transgression affected the world. One man's obedience can bring people from hell to heaven. Here's what I want to tell you tonight. If we can get a hold of this truth, that a Christian is powerful. Say the word, a Christian is powerful. How powerful? Resurrection power, the Creator power. Now, we say we believe this. I guarantee this. Remember the guy driving this morning? The steering took place when he began to move. And I honestly believe when we can get a hold of this truth tonight, we're going to find, God, take my life and use me, because you've got a plan and a purpose for little old me. 57 Cents illustrated that this morning. Am I right? What we ought to say is, I'm going to give it my all. I'm going to serve God with a cause. I'm going to jump out of bed in the morning. I'm not going to sit and play video games all day, because there's something far more important in life than video games. I'm going to get a purpose. In Chicago, a rescue team where a boat submerged and many people in the ice-cold waters, one man said, I'm going to rescue as many as I can. Ice-cold waters. He swam out, brought a guy to shore, swam out again, brought a guy to shore, and he brought 15 people to shore. He's in his hospital bed because the ice-cold water had caused him to lose his life. But just before he died, somebody was in that hospital room. And he looked up and said, and he could hardly talk, did I do my best? The doctor said, I would say you did your best. You saved 15 men and lost your own life. He looked up and said, did I do my dead level best? I'd say you did your dead level best. 15 people are saved. And he put a smile on his face and then he died. But how many believe that getting people out of hell forever is more important than ice cold waters? Can you get that picture in your mind? People say, what keeps you going more than anything else on that court? What keeps you going? Why can you play 50 games a week? Because I look at the audience. Now listen very carefully to this. I take the verse, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And I believe that hell is a lake of fire because God says it's a lake of fire. Billy Graham said, I don't know that hell is real flames. It might be just separation from God. Well, why would God call it a lake of fire? So what I'm saying is, what I do is I take that audience and I take them off the bleachers and I see them hanging over a lake of flames ready to fall in, and all of a sudden I have strength for another game. Two Olympic players came to me. They said, why don't you join our Olympic team? I said, I'm not interested. They said, how come? I said, because I've got to get a message out. And they said, well, we'll let you play one position and you can rotate. I said, that'd be like a vacation for me. But I said, I'm not interested. And they said, how come? I said, because there's a hell and people have got to get out of that place. And I believe that God gives me the strength only because of that fact. Now, it is said, now when you get a real cause, supernatural things can happen. But this is the Spirit of God, watch me now. This is the Spirit of God who has resurrection power. How many believe Jesus came out of the grave? Now that's resurrection power. And I thought of this. There are so many stories you can read where somebody saw somebody crushed under a vehicle. And supernaturally they got the strength to lift the car up, and they were the only one there and they lifted the car up. But I believe the power that we have is not just adrenaline at a time of need. It is the Spirit of God Almighty, the Creator in us. How many are glad we have that power in earthen vessels? If we do, we ought to be doing more than we're doing. Go to 1 Samuel 17. I'm about to start preaching. This is exciting. Look at 1 Samuel 17. David, in the Bible, said something to a giant. And this was not cocky, and I'm going to show you why we see it's not cocky. Okay, 1 Samuel 17, look at verse 45. Then said David to the Philistine, Thou comest to me with a sword, and with a spear, and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. Look at that again. You come to me with a sword, shield, and all that armor, but I'm coming to you with God Almighty behind me. What's more powerful, everybody? The power of one person who has God behind it. Then verse 29, look at 1 Samuel 17:29. David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? Now the cause was what we just read, that he had been defying God. And when I heard that homosexuals were singing Christmas carols, Silent Night, Homo Night, instead of Silent Night, Holy Night, I said, there's a cause to get the true God of the Bible in the forefront. And David said, there's a cause, and that cause is gripping me so much that I'm going to go toward this giant. I'm going to say, you're defying God, and you may have all that armor, but I have the God behind me of all creation. Now, look at verse 33. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him. For thou art but a youth, and he is a man of war from his youth. You can't go against that. And I thought, years ago, and I remember as distinctly as anything, people saying, you can't go to the public schools with the name Jesus. Guess who discouraged me the most from doing it? Were Christians. You can't do that. And even when I told the story of how Jesus Christ's name has been in every school where I've said, he's not a curse word. Remember that on the video? You see, you saw how they clapped? Every single school claps like that. We're thinking the atheists are in charge when the truth is we always hear from them on the news, so we think that's the way everybody thinks, and it's brainwashing us. Because the truth is people are crying out for an answer. To get 1,000 kids to come out in every revival practically, 500 to 1,000 of them coming out at night, I'm saying they're searching for something. They're saying suicide's not the answer. We've got to find something that's real. And I want you to know that even when I told that story, a person told me over 10 times after I told the story, you can't do that. Well, I said, I've already done that. Well, you can't do that. And this is the Christian telling me this. He couldn't do many mighty works among them because of their unbelief. How many believe Christians ought to believe God again? And then, look at this. Look at verse 37. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the power of the lion. Notice he doesn't take any credit here. He's not coming saying, I got the strength to kill this giant. David said, the Lord that delivered me out of the power of the lion and out of the power of the bear. Now watch the confidence he said here. He will, say the word will, deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go and the Lord be with thee. He spoke in absolute faith. Now look at verse 45. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. Verse 46, this day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee. Wow. David, are you full of pride? How can you say to that giant, I will defeat you? Watch why he could say that. He didn't just say that. He said, I'm going to take thine head from thee. And I'll give the carcasses of the hosts of the Philistines this day to the fowls of the air, to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know what a great person I am. No, that all the earth may know that there's a God in Israel. The power of one! Why? He said, I want this world to know there is a God. When I heard that they threw Bible and prayer out of the schools, I said, I want to attack the giant without any confidence in myself. God, there's got to be a way to get to the schools. I had a terrible back problem. After a 10-hour drive, I had to have two men help me in the church at the age of 29. And a chiropractor said, just work out. You need to do something to help your back problem. So in all the churches, I would ask people to play me in volleyball like we're going to do tonight to help my back problem. And little did I ever dream that God was going to use the affliction of a back problem to go around and do 5,000 assemblies. But I said, there's got to be some way. If Madeline Murray O'Hare got Jesus out, we got to get him back. Right? But David didn't have pride here. He said, I am going to do this, giant. So David, in verse 49, put his hand in his bag, took thence a stone, and slang it, and smote the Philistine in his forehead. And the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. This would not have happened had verse 46 not happened. He said, I want all the earth to know there's a God in Israel. Would you ever pray this prayer? God, use me in a mighty way so the earth will know who you are, not who I am. And in every crowd, I tell people, I hated sports growing up. When I played Cal Ripken, I didn't even know who he was. And I tell people everywhere, there's absolutely no way that one person, listen to me, there's no way that one person named Bob Holmes would ever play sports. And God showed me that if he's behind a volleyball, that volleyball will do things I can't do to it. Go after the weak person. Remember that this morning? He's the weak one, and I'm going after him tonight. So he's going to be on every team that plays me tonight so I can nail him right in the face. How many believe he needs a face that's rearranged? No, it isn't because of anything but God who has stood behind that volleyball, just as that superintendent shows up 2,000 miles away. Now watch verse 50. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him, but there was no sword in the hand of David. Wow. Why? Because if God's behind a slingshot, it does amazing things. According to my earnest expectation and hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness as always, Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. Let me not be ashamed of my hope, Psalm 119:116, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So God says, I have chosen you to show this world that the light of the world is still the light of the world. Amen. Now, I'm at an amusement park, and I'm preaching at a roller coaster. And I love preaching at roller coasters and playing volleyball and preaching at roller coasters because people are thinking about death. It's a great place to preach with all screaming people all around you on the roller coaster. A guy came by my court dressed in black, looked just like a Satan worshiper, heavy metal and makeup all black. And I said to the guy next to me, pray that he gets saved and gets out of the devil worship. He said, he's not a Satan worshiper. He sings in a Christian band. And then it hit me. Christians have come to the place where they think the gospel just limps along till we add credibility, and you've got to even look like a Satan worshiper now to have some power. How many believe if Jesus is the light of the world, he's powerful enough to do it? And God uses the human vessel that's saved to have power. A little girl was on the way home from church, and her mother said to her mother, Mommy, the preacher's sermon confused me. Why is that? She said, is God bigger than us? Yep. Sure is. A whole lot bigger. Does God live in us if we're saved? Yes. And she said the most amazing word. Wouldn't he shine through then? The power of one Christian. Now, I'm about to show you something fascinating. Go to Isaiah chapter 45. Isaiah 45 and look at verse 18. Again, how many believe the Bible literally? Raise your hands. Can you see? Want to see something exciting? Look at Isaiah 45:18. For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it. How many believe that's true? And how many believe you're part of His creation, right? He established it, and He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. Do you mean to tell me that when He made this whole beautiful earth, He made it for me as an individual to be on that planet, and His purpose was to have me on this earth? According to that verse, that's true. Do you mean to tell me that I have been created not in vain? Now, what that means is He didn't just all of a sudden say, haphazardly say, well, I guess I'll make a world. In all eternity past, He had you in mind. What? I thought life began when I came out of the belly of my mom. And that's when God knew me. God knew you trillions and trillions and trillions of years ago. He knew you before the foundations of the earth. Now, I want you to see how wonderful this is. God says, we won't turn to it, but in Psalm 139, He says, He has thought about you more than the sand. Now, how many again believe the Bible's true? Pick up a handful of sand and count every pebble and see how long it takes to count one handful of sand. And then would you please count every pebble on the face of the earth and see how long it takes you to count every pebble of sand on the whole earth. How many of you are glad God has thought about you more than that? You say, how could He do that? Well, He's known you for trillions of years. And if He's known you for trillions of years, He's thought about you more than the sand, every person He created. Now, here's the amazing part about this. If He knows us that much, and He didn't haphazardly throw us here on the earth, but He knew us before the foundation of the earth. That's why God told Jeremiah, I knew you before you came out of the belly of your mother. So God knew us from eternity past. Let's get this now. God knew us from what?
Eternity past.
Eternity past. Now, if that's the case, and you are not by accident, you have been on purpose for trillions of years, wouldn't you want to give your life to somebody who knows you better than you? Secondly, if He's thought about us that much and knows us that much, shouldn't we say by God's grace, there's power in my one life? I'm not an accident. I'm here on purpose with a plan that was being planned trillions of years. And I say trillions, but it's eternity, so it's a lot more than trillions. Oh, get a hold of this. If that's the case, we ought to be excited about life. We ought to not be sitting playing a video game all day because there's something more important than that. I don't know why I keep going back to that. One pilot in World War, I forget which World War it was, he was trying to drop a bomb and it wouldn't work. And he tried to drop it again and it wouldn't work. Years later, he found out why the bomb didn't drop. There were missionaries below doing mission work right below where he was going to drop the bomb. How many are glad God knew that was going on? Think about this. God has a plan. One great scientist said, I'm an atheist, but I will admit this, there's an intelligence somewhere. There's law and order in the universe, and we're beginning to believe that back of it is something. We don't know what it is, but it's something. How many are glad it's God? Amen. Dwight Eisenhower said, it takes no brains to be an atheist. Any stupid person can deny God just because you don't see Him, but they cannot be ignored the mystery of the first life or the marvelous order in which the universe moves around us. For my part, that's the God of the Bible, Jesus Christ. There's order in the universe. The story is told of an atheist who said to a believer, I don't believe God exists. And the believer thought for a minute and said, well, I don't think God believes you exist either. And the atheist blurted out, what do you mean? He has to believe I'm here. He created me. How crazy people think. Now, here's the point. I spoke on service this morning. If we believe that we're here on purpose and that God didn't all of a sudden say, well, I guess I'll create a world haphazardly. It's time to do it, I think, maybe. No, He had Now, some of you that are architects have, anybody at Cochrane is here, you know how you have to go by the, what do they call that thing? The blueprint. And you have to get a plan. Did you ever stop to think of how planned you are by God? There's a blueprint for you. If that's the case, get out of yourself. When myself is in the way, I'm no blessing at all. When I'm thinking about homes, I am miserable. Have you ever noticed the word miserable has a word in it called miser? When I am a miser, I am miserable. Selfish people have three messages they live on. What about me? What about me? And what about me? Happiest people think about other people. When I read this description of hell, I said, God, help me to get my mind off of me. Anguish, blackness, bottomless pit, burned, condemned, cursed, damned, damnation, darkness, eternal fire, everlasting fire, flame, fearful, forever, furnace, indignation, judgment, perish, everlasting punishment, a pit, suffering, torment, tribulation, unquenchable, where people wail and weep, wrath, lake of fire, horrible tempest, sorrows, filthiness, breath, living flame, where one person begs for one drop of water. And when I read that, I said, I cannot believe hell is described as such a horrible place, but we better believe everything God says about the heaven, but we ought to also believe everything he says about hell. Would you say amen?
Amen.
If that's the case, can we get away from us? Can we get away from us? You see, what causes gospel singers to now become gyrated? What causes them to gyrate worse than Elvis? When Elvis Presley, you may have heard of him, possibly. When he first came to America, they wouldn't show him on the camera from the waist down. And now Christians are gyrating worse than he did in their Christian concerts. Getting quiet. How many believe the God who we represent is a holy God?
Yes.
Think about this. We are called to represent a holy God. I'm in a Christian college, and I'm looking at a TV monitor that was on the wall showing something that's piped into the whole Christian college. And I saw a girl dancing and revealing parts of her body that only her husband should see. And I said to the Bible professor standing there, what is that? He said, that's the Christian MTV. It's called ZTV. I said, that's filth. And I couldn't believe that they were allowing on the TV monitor that kind of filth. The God's got a plan for my life that says, I want to shine through you. But when I shine through you, I want you to reveal who I am. I'm not a God who marries sensuality. I'm a God who separates from sensuality. He is holy. Say holy.
Holy.
Harmless. Say it again.
Harmless.
Undefiled.
Undefiled.
Separate from sinners. Made higher than the heavens. That's who my Savior is. Now think about this. The God who has planned my life from eternity past says, I want you to represent who I really am. I want to use you in the power of one, but I will not put my power in you if you don't represent who I really am. Now, if I'm an ambassador, he's a king, and I'm representing him, he wants me to represent who he is correctly. If God's who he is, an absolute holy God, then I ought to preach on his holiness like I did in one place. I couldn't get over it. There were 2,000 teenagers there. It was at a Bible college. A group got up to sing Amazing Grace, but then it turned into an amazing sensual dance. I don't need to describe it. But a bunch of girls were whistling at the boys up front as they were gyrating. I had to preach after that. I preached on God as holy, and I said, if you believe in a holy God, you won't be whistling at a bunch of guys looking worse than Elvis up here. It got quiet. worse than tonight. It became like you could feel it. When it was over, the professors came up crying. The older guys, oh, we used to have preaching like that all the time. Keep it up. The young guys were mad. They said, we wouldn't have these 2,000 kids here if we didn't have that. And then it hit me. We think that we have power because we all of a sudden think we can add something to who Jesus is. When he says, no, I want you to represent me. I want you to represent who I really am. That we can't even go to heaven till we get a new body because his brightness would completely demolish us. Why does it say all have sinned and come short of the glory of God? We often read that verse, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. When it ought to be, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Because when you say the glory of God, that we've come short of it, then we get a sinner to start comparing himself to who God really is, and that brings conviction. But no conviction comes when you say, all have sinned, but boy, come to Christ because he gets down and boogies with us. Now, I preached this morning. I'm so glad he humbled himself, came to earth and lived among us and showed his love to us, but he never copied the sensuality of the world. Amen. I heard one guy say, he's a popular singer, and he's in every Christian bookstore in America. Ready? He said, I don't need to use the old buzzwords in my songs. The old buzzwords like Jesus and born again and Lord. Do you see what that man just did? He said, because I'm selling platinum albums, and because I have 60,000 at all my concerts, worship what I said, not what Jesus said, because I'm doing it. So let's bow down, and let's look up to the Christian singer who says that born again is just a buzzword, and go to the Bible and look at John where God says you must be born again. If Jesus said you must be born again, how many believe we ought to worship what he said, not what some so-called entertainer says? Follow me? Well, let's just go ahead and represent God the way we want to so we can sell more albums. I prayed all afternoon, God, if you're going to enlarge me to more military bases and you're going to enlarge me, God, help me to always stand for your words, because if you're ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed. You know what I believe? We ought to never be ashamed of what God says right here. Help us to stand up for it. Well, if we do that, we might end up being the smallest church in town, and all the rich people are going to go where? Let us consider the Bible. And let us have an understanding. And this is a tremendous suggestion to us all. And let's have all the doctors and lawyers go where it's just soft soap like that. Because after all, the money is always going to the places where the rich people hear the soothing, tickling ear messages. But how many believe we ought to preach what God says, no matter how big the crowd is? What's the truth? We do it in love. And compassion makes a difference. We don't slam people with it. One preacher got in front of a crowd. He said to this person who was bent over, sit up straight while I'm preaching. He said that to him. And the guy stayed right like that. Sit up! And he must have done it 5 times. Later he found out he was a hunchback. So we're to have love for people, but at the same time, we're not supposed to compromise. Can you say amen to that? If not, I'm going on further. And you're not going to have your grilled cheese sandwich. Well, let's stand for who he is. Let's recognize the power of one Christian who says, I'm going to let the light shine, but I'm not going to make that light mix with darkness because it puts out the light. Amen. Come out from among them, be separate, saith the Lord, touch not the unclean thing, and I'll receive you. Amen. I'll use you as the power of one person. Let's bow in prayer. You know what I believe? God has been defied in our Christian bookstores. God has been defied when somebody calls born again just a buzzword. God's been defied when somebody says Jesus' name is just an old buzzword I don't need in my songs. Jesus said there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And if it's that name that saves us, we better not call it a buzzword. Now, we have a Goliath. What's the Goliath? Mega churches that look at us like we're so unsuccessful. What's the giant? You can't reach him with preaching. Well, we're just going to hug our pastor when he comes back. And we're going to say, thank you for preaching to me week after week. How many believe there needs to be more love for the pastor in the churches? Would you give him a hug and say, thank you that you're a man of God and you're a preacher? Lord, thank you for speaking to us on the power of one. Let me ask you this. How many would admit right now, and I'm going to ask you a question, and I want you to answer each question. How many would agree you are one person? Raise your hands. Let me ask you a second question. How many believe the God of all creation is in you because you're saved? Raise your hands. How many believe the resurrected Savior is in you because you're saved? Then would you say this like David did to Goliath? I will defeat the enemy. Because it is God who works in us to will and do of His good pleasure. Lord, use all these people in a wonderful way as the years go by. Lord, I beg you that next fall in October that we have an opportunity to see the public schools all around here open their doors. Will you pray for Brother Wall that God will use him as he goes around and shows the video before the summer break so the principals can get this assembly on their minds? And keep praying, have prayer meetings about it, because I really believe there's a spiritual warfare that does not want the gospel going to these public schools. Would you pray right now for David Wall? God, use him as he approaches the schools. And as he goes in there and shows the video, that you might put this on the heart of the schools. Yeah, we're seeing suicide. Yeah, we're seeing a lot of bullying. When's that guy coming? We're putting it down. Father, I pray that that kind of response would happen. And that next fall, we'd be able to end the revival meeting on Sunday to Wednesday with a Thursday night rally where so many hear the gospel. Thank you that you can do that. And you can use one person to do great things. Lord, it just humbles us. We know it's God who works in us. Help us to give you the glory as we would represent you as a holy God, not as a filthy God, but as a holy God. And with that in mind, I'm going to ask, Brother, if you'd just close in prayer and leave the service however you feel led, and then I've got one announcement.
With our heads bowed, eyes closed. We never want to end a service without an invitation. And maybe God's speaking to your heart about doing more and trusted in His power and not our own. So we stand on our feet when the piano begins to play, the altar's open. You can come and kneel, beg God. Our enemy is not going to quit. Our enemy is strong. But we have a God that is stronger. And He wants to use us to bring that victory, to work through us. But we can't do anything unless we have His power, and we can't get His power without prayer. What can God do with you? Never want to end, of course, without giving the opportunity. Maybe somebody's here that they don't have that power because they've never trusted Christ as their Savior. Anybody like that today? Say, you know, I'll tell you the truth. I've never trusted Christ as my Savior. I've never had that moment where I placed my faith in Him to get me to heaven. But I need Him. If you're like that, you could just step out, walk down the aisle, and take the Bible and show you what the Bible says. How you can know for sure you're going to heaven. What can God do with just one person that yields himself to Him? Lord, we thank you for the decisions that were made tonight. Lord, only you know exactly what decisions were made and what the impact those decisions could be if we continue to trust in you. Lord, I pray that our hearts would not just be stirred, but that we would act upon it and do something about it. Lord, help us to leave differently than when we came in. In your name, amen. I'm going to ask the ushers, we're going to take up one last offering for Brother Holmes. Maybe there's some here that were not here this morning that were able to give or didn't have the opportunity, and so we always want to make sure everybody has an opportunity to give. And no matter what is given, all of it would go to him. And I would thank him for coming and for preaching. Amen. Yep. But I think they want you to help out. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for Brother Holmes and for his preaching, Lord. But Lord, we know that it's not just him, but he's preaching your word. And Lord, I thank you that it's your power that moves through us. Lord, I pray that we would, as we open up our hearts and give to him, Lord, and you would just take it and use it to your work. In your name, amen.